Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 790. This is your host, Danny. P and Paris are not going to be joining us this week for this episode. But I have a little surprise. I've been working on this for a while now, and I finally recorded an interview with Corey Marshall. He is the voice actor of Shenmue 1 and 2. And yes, he is also going to be working on 3 in the future. He is the voice actor for one of the main characters, actually the main character of the game. Name is Ryu Hazuki. And if you play Shenmue 1 and 2, this is a great, great interview for you to get to know more about Corey, the story, how was it working on the game back in the days during the Sega Dreamcast days, and actually how he got that part. I was always curious about that. And I also brought up, you know, because back then, the voiceover, like the dialogue, it was very different back then for gaming. But, you know, we talked about how was it working on the first one? And still to this day, I think that dialogue is a lot better for the second game. But we talked about all that stuff, you know, a lot of behind the scenes stories. How was his reaction when he found out that Shenmue 3 was announced during at E3 at the PlayStation press conference? Talked about that. And a couple other things. I don't want to say much because I want you guys to just enjoy this great conversation with Corey. And hopefully we can have him on again in the future once, you know, the third game comes out and stuff. Corey is super cool. We've been talking now for weeks to see if we could finally record this podcast. But, you know, there's a lot of people that probably never played Shenmue. And Shenmue, to me, is a special, special game. They came out for the Sega Dreamcast. Oh, my God, 18 years ago. Can you believe that? 18 years ago, this game came out. And, you know, you play it now, you'd be like, okay, because you probably are used to games, open world, and all the stuff that was in Shenmue, you're probably so used to that, you know? So even the dialogue, you're probably going to say, oh, you know, it's not for me or whatever. But I think that game is part of history, and it's super important for us as gamers to play those old games. Find out the good and the bad about the games that came out back in the days, during the early days of gaming. Because honestly, to me, I think that Shenmue changed gaming because of the game was, you know, started as one of the first open world games. This is one of the first games that you could go to a location based on time, day. I think this is one of the first games that I remember. You know, because the thing is, you start and they show you like the dates, right? Of each, every time you wake up, they show like the day and time. And once it gets closer to Christmas, you see the town, you see everybody decorating Christmas, you see people dressed up as Santa, you see like the Christmas tree, the music, and everything based on that. I've never seen that back then. Now you see that in tons of games, you know, but Shenmue was the one that started that back in the early days from the Sega Dreamcast. The Sega Dreamcast console. When I found out that the second game was actually canceled for the Sega Dreamcast only in the United States, I was completely sad, man. But then I found out that the game was coming out for the Xbox, the original Xbox console. I was like, all right, it's cool. But there was gamers. Shout out to Chip and Zach. Gaming Noise, I think one of them bought the game, the European version, and played for the Sega Dreamcast, the one premiered from the States. So, wow, that was way back in the early days. Now, if you have the original Xbox and you purchased Shenmue 2, that game also came with a DVD of the first game because they also released Shenmue as a movie. It was straight from the game. Exactly from the game, and they made that as a movie, and they were playing it in different theaters in Japan, early 2000s. So, But yeah, I hope you guys enjoyed this interview that, you know, with Corey. We talked a lot about the game. And please let me know what you think and make sure to hit us up and send us questions and comments.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
So we're back here at Gamertag Radio, and we have a special guest here. You'd like to introduce yourself to the listeners?
Yeah, sure. My name is Corey Marshall. I think you guys probably know me as the English voice of Ryo Hazuki in Shenmue.
Yes. And actually, Shenmue 1 and 2 just came out. Make sure to purchase it. It's out for the PC, Xbox One, and also PlayStation 4. Corey, let's take it back, man. How was it that you found out about this job opening for a game back in the days for Shenmue, back in the early days?
Yeah, so I was living in New York at the time. Actually, I was going to college out there, and I guess I was kind of working at the same time I was going to college, and I was looking through a publication that actually they had taken out a tiny little, you know, cup, maybe a little bit bigger than a postage size stamp. It was really kind of a small little article about an audition for voiceovering, doing a voiceover for video games. And it said something like 2 to 3 months in Japan. Actually had to relocate to Japan to do a voiceover, and I thought, that sounds pretty interesting. So I decided to audition for that, because hey, I've always played video games. I've been doing acting and stage acting for a long time, and so I decided to go for it. And literally, it was my first voiceover audition ever. And hey, the rest is history, I guess.
Nice. So when you were trying it out, was that you knew right away what it was, or you found out after you got hired for the position?
Yeah, no, it was actually kind of a big secret. They didn't tell me what the project was for. They did tell me, it was for Sega. They just kind of mentioned it was, a large voiceover game that, they kind of didn't give me a whole lot of detail. It was a little bit secretive. Even after they hired me, they didn't tell me what it was for until I got there. So, they hired me, said, the gentleman who told me, they had gone through another company. It was actually an American guy. He called me up and he was like, "Hey, bad news." And I was like, "Oh yeah?" And he goes, "Yeah, you're going to have to go to Japan. Sorry about that." And I was like, "Oh man." Okay.
Hey, yeah, that's not bad.
Yeah,
not bad.
So, like I said, they didn't even introduce me to the game, didn't tell me what it was, didn't tell me anything until I had actually hit Japanese soil. So,
have you ever even heard about the game at that time? Or you found out about it once you got there in Japan?
You know, actually, I had not heard about it. And I guess that's just because the game was, in Japanese, and I didn't have the opportunity to play it myself, or, it wasn't on my radar at the time. And so, yeah, I was kind of, I found out all about the game, about its scale, about what it was, what it was about the, the open world layout and all that QTE. I found all that out as I got there. And I thought, wow, this, you know, it's pretty interesting. You guys got something here.
Because I've been playing now one and two. I just finished one again a couple of days ago. And yeah, like at that time, I felt like the dialogue wasn't there. I think some parts was like perfect, mm-hmm. right? I think part two was a lot better. I think to me, part one was more as a, like an experiment, I mm-hmm. think. And then I noticed that too, that did a lot better with the dialogue and everything else. You think the same too or not?
Yeah.
At that time.
You might be right about that. I mean, especially with the English voice in the game, they had to kind of build a crew around that as far as the English voice is concerned. And yeah, I kind of mm-hmm. felt that once we got into the studio again for the second time, it was kind of like, okay, yeah, we've all been here. We've all done this. And we're kind of like just slipping into into the groove again. And as the voice actors, we kind of knew what was going on. And I think the crew had a better handle on what was going on as well. Yeah, I think you might be right about that.
And years later, how's it feel, man, to find out that Sega released one and two again to a whole new generation that never even played this game before?
Yeah, that's great, you know, because I think, first of all, it was totally necessary. And I think it was a good idea that, yeah, if you're going to release the third game, if there's going to be a third game, for sure, you know, it's been so many years that you need to introduce the game to a whole new generation, actually, right, of mm-hmm. players. Yep. And I think it should be pretty interesting. The news is kind of coming out. We'll see how it goes. But it's kind of like it should be interesting for new players to play a game like this and be like, oh, wow, okay, well, I can see where, you know, where games are today because of a game like Shenmue, you know.
And it's crazy because I was going back and forth with the PR that was handling this game because I got my review copy, and David told me that this was the most requested game in their career. They've never gotten so many requests from people that really wanted to try out Shenmue for them to talk about it for like the YouTube, Twitch, or blogs and stuff. So it's pretty interesting, man. It's good to hear that people are very curious about Shenmue overall because of the third game, you know. So, but how was your reaction finding out about the third game that was announced a couple years ago at the Sony press conference?
Well, I mean, could I say that I was surprised or maybe not surprised and not surprised at the same time? You know, because I say, okay, you know, Shenmue fans are just the best. I mean, never give up.
Yeah.
Diehard fans and I tell the fans, I tell people out there, I'm like, guys, seriously, you're the ones that got Shenmue 3 made. Yeah, did it want to happen? Mm-hmm. Did Sega probably want to do it? Yu Suzuki, of course, wanted to do it, but it's all about, like, you know, time and money and contracts and this and that, and you know, there's a lot of negotiation, a lot of stuff that I'm sure people are aware of, and you know, but the relentless talk and the you know, like you were talking about how people are just curious about it now, and that's because, again, of the fans, how the fans, you know, when it was announced there at E3 and the reaction that so many people had. Of course, there's, you know, famous YouTube videos of Shenmue reactions and people just losing it. And, you know, it's not just about like how good of a game it is, but also about the passion of the fans behind it. And that's something that really is kind of unique, I think, to Shenmue, that people are so passionate about it. Not only the people who play the games, but, you know, the people who built the games as well. And even my my voice actor buddies are actually really, they're like, oh, I really love Shenmue. I cannot believe it's coming back. I really want to be a part of it. And that's kind of unusual, you know, for us as actors, We like projects. We want projects to happen, but we're not like, you know, really passionate about something. If I get it, that would be fantastic. I love the project. But really it's kind of a job, you know, and if it doesn't happen, then I need to go on to the next job. And I was talking to people like Eric Kelso and stuff like that, and they were actually really hungry to do the job again. And they're really hoping that they can be a part of Shenmue 3. So it's just,
yeah. And it's cool because I remember finishing 2. I was like, oh man, I can't wait for 3. Can't wait. And that was during the original Xbox days. Cause originally that game was supposed to come out for the Dreamcast.
Right.
But, you know, the whole situation, what happened on Dreamcast only was available in Europe, part 2. But yeah, I remember buying Shenmue 2 for the Xbox. It came with a DVD where you could watch the story and everything about part 1 before you play part 2. And I finished it and I was like, oh, I can't wait. But then I felt all these years, I felt like, man, how I'm going to finish this if Sega's never going to release this. Like that's me thinking back then, like, oh, they're never going to release it. So when I was at the press conference at Sony's PlayStation conference at E3, dude, I was so happy, really like excited. I went to the website, Kickstarter to actually support the game. I was like, you know, I'm going for it, man. I really want to just complete the story, just finish it, you know? So I'm very, very excited about that, man.
Yeah. Super yeah. Fun. You know, and another thing too, is that, A lot of the other voice actors and me as well, we put an effort into just talk. I mean, even me right here, right now, you know, talking about the game. I take a lot of time and a lot of effort just, you know, on my own, really, just doing stuff to promote the game, get people excited about it because I care so much about it, you know? And, you know, it's just like,
Why is this so important to you? Because you know, you worked on other projects in the past, but why Shenmue? Why to you is super important to you to spread the word and talk about it to not only to your followers but just fans overall of gaming.
Right. So that's sort of almost intangible, right? What is it about Shenmue that gets people so excited? It's just, I mean, everything that you can think of as far as, you know, character and music and setting and, you know, all those things mixed together really get people excited about it. Again, the people who work on the project are also passionate about it. I mean, okay, for example, like the music, right? You know, when I was over there at Sega, and I would visit the people who were creating the music, you know, it's like, I could tell, I think, you know what it is? We got a wonderful group of people together. And I think when they were designing this game, they got people who not interested in making something great, because I think a lot of us, you know, when we get into the business, yeah, of course we want to do good and we want to, you know, make great things and stuff like that, but we're, you know, interested in, I don't know, money and fame and all that kind of stuff. But once you hire a group of people who are really interested in the project itself, right? So not only interested in making something good, but like I said, it's that passion that we all bring to the project. I think you can feel that as a player when you can see it in a piece of art, right? Like when you go to an art gallery, you know, you can see how passionate somebody is about a project, right? That they did. Or music, you know, some people make music that's good and fun and, you know, they're interested in money and fame and there's nothing wrong with that. And that's totally cool. And there's a lot of that out there today where there's, you know, kind of cookie cutter or maybe be, you know, just processed or, you know, that type of music. But there are people out there that are so passionate about what they do, and it's a different kind of music, and there's maybe a smaller select group of people who would appreciate that particular artist. You know, maybe there's artists out mm-hmm. there who maybe even give away their music, or they'll give away all the samples of their music so other people can take that music, do their own mixes on top of it. And then, you know what I mean? Like, there are people out there that do those things. Mm-hmm. And I think that's kind of like where Shen is, right? Like, there's a group of people who are passionate about what they did. And I think as a player, you see that. And you can experience that. And I think that's why people are excited about it. And that's why I'm excited about it. And that's what drives me. Yeah. That's what kind of gets my passion going as well.
When the first two games came out back in the days for the Dreamcast and also for the Xbox, when it came out, were you like curious, okay, what people are saying? Let me go to forums. Let me go to different websites. Were you nervous about that, or you were just excited that people are finally going to play the game and hear your voice?
Yeah, not nervous. Definitely excited. Like I said, it was my very first voiceover job, and to be working for, you know, Sega, a game company that I've been playing for years, which is great, you know. I wasn't nervous, but definitely just like, yeah, I'm excited. Let's see where this thing goes. I hope that it does well. And, you know, I want people to see the work that I did. Yeah.
Definitely.
I definitely was, definitely, I don't know, I guess happy about the fandom that has grown around it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. Back then I used to actually, I remember when the soundtrack came out in Japan, I imported that. And I used to live in New York City at that time. I was listening to that soundtrack all the time because I was just hype about the game. I used to go to this website back then. I don't know. Maybe you probably heard of it. ShenmueDojo.com.
Oh, yeah, of course.
I don't know if it still exists. Yeah. I used to go to that site all the time, man, for new information about the game. Even after the game came out for part two, I was just like waiting to see if there was any like details about part three and stuff. But let me ask you, Corey, are you involved with part three or not really? Are you involved with that now?
Am I involved? Well, I am doing the voice for Ryo Hazuki again. Yeah, for.
Oh, that's awesome! That's awesome. And how was it like getting that call from them? I was like, hey, you know what? We want you back, man. Let's have this reunion again.
Yeah, it was great. You know, it happened actually right after, I think, probably just a couple of days after they announced it over at E3, and they called me up and said, "Hey, you probably heard that there was you know, an announcement at E3, and we would love to have you back for the third installment of the game. Are you in?" And I was like, yeah, you know, like, hell yeah, of course, I'm definitely going to be a part of it. And you know, it's famous. You know, I was talking to my wife about Shenmue before it had even come out. And I was like, man, you know, if 3 ever comes out, it's like, no matter what I'm doing in life, I want to make sure that I do part 3. You know what I mean? Like, I don't care what I'm doing, what project I'm involved with. If I have to, you know, schedule a vacation, if I have to cut a project short, or maybe I have whatever I have to do, I don't care. You know what I mean? I don't care if I'm on a big movie set. Like, you know what I mean? Like, if I'm, whatever it is, I owe to. Not only to Yu Suzuki, for, you know, he gave me the opportunity to, of course, I deeply appreciate that. So not only do I owe it to him, but just all the fans out there and everybody who worked on Shenmue, I would make sure that I was on that project no matter what was happening in my life. I don't care if I had an accident and I was paralyzed and I had to do it from the hospital bed. I'm going to be doing it. You know what I mean?
He's going that deep. Yeah, he's ready. He's ready for this, man. You know, but yeah, it's a cool moment, man. Cause you know, I know the game got delayed. I want them to take their time with the game, man. I, I want this to be, you know, great when it comes out next year, and I can finally play him. And maybe my theories is gonna happen. So
yeah, you got some happy, game man. Theory rattling around in your head.
Yeah, I have some theories, and it was because of playing part two. Part one was more of like an introduction for me. Oh, let me get to know the characters and stuff. And it's something to do with Landy. Like, I think he's related to someone it's in the game that I think personally. Yeah, that's my theory.
I love game theory, you know? I love people when they talk about it and they explore, and as crazy as it gets sometimes, I love it. I love it when people talk and they make up their own stories, you know? I mean, that's where games like Shenmue come from, you know what I mean? Like, somebody might be thinking about a different game that they played, and maybe they have their own theory about what's going on. And like, hey, you know what? That's actually a good story. Maybe I should write that down.
Yeah. You know what, though, Corey? That to me, this game, when it came out in 2000 in the States, this game was like so ahead of its time. I mean, now people play for the first time now, they'll be like, yeah, okay. But being there first day buying this game for the Sega Dreamcast and actually playing it, and man, this is the first time that I have to go to a location at a certain time. Oh, I have to wait to the next day to meet up with this person. I've never seen that in the game back then. And wasn't this the first game to have voice from start to finish from the game back then too, or not? Because I know there was other games that had it, but it wasn't as deep as
this. You know, if it's been a while now, right? If I remember properly, there were games where we had cinematic sequences and all that kind of stuff, but there were games where you might come to a particular spot in the game, right, and a character might say something. Like they would enter a room and then there would be voice. But you're right. You wouldn't be able to walk down the street and talk to anybody. I mean, any kid or any person in the selling their fish or whatever the case may be. You know what I mean? Not only that, as far as playing the game, we have some fantastic, amazing, wonderful games today. But I want to let people know, like, look, if you want to play Shenmue, it's like playing, a piece of history. You know what I mean? It's like, I want people to know, like, the game, if you love games today, it's because of Shenmue. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So many games today are built off of, what we did back then. So that's something, when we're looking forward to three sequences, and maybe we'll get some new kind of play. And to be honest with you, I don't even know. I wish that I did. I wish that I had some awesome secret that I could keep from you guys. But once I start voicing it, I'm going to start seeing what's going on. And I haven't started voicing any of that stuff yet. So I'm excited to see what's going on. But yeah, I want people to know, like, look, you know, games are the way they are today because of Shenmue. So people should just, kind of see what happened back in the day, you know?
Yeah. And now let me ask you this. I know you're going to be back. Is there going to be other voice actors from the first two games that are coming back to work on three that you know?
Yeah, we don't know. Like I said, I know a lot of the other voice actors expressed interest in being in it. They want to be in it. Liesl Wilkerson, we had spoken just recently, and she's excited. She wants to be a part of it. I know Eric Kelso does. So yeah, it's like people... voice actors want to do it, and we'll see what happens. And we don't even know how it's going to be put together, because we don't know if it's all going to be happening here in Los Angeles, if they are going to do some voicing in Japan as well. That has yet to be seen, even how the voiceover process will be done. Because what I do know is that they did tell me, in fact, I asked them, I was like, oh, well, I need to go to Japan again, because hey, I wouldn't mind. And they said, oh, no, we'll have you do it there in Los Angeles. So that's the one thing that we do know, is that I will be able to, me personally, I'll be able to do it here from home at this point. And
you did the second game in Japan?
Yeah,
too?
That's correct. I happened to be in, it's fun. It's kind of actually a funny story. I was on the island of Guam doing a performance out there, doing a show out there. And I had rolled over my ankle and had a severe sprain where my ankle was really swollen. And I couldn't perform. It was like a, you know, a dancing show and all that kind of stuff. And I couldn't perform. And I was talking to the director of entertainment there. And they were talking about like, well, we can give you, you know, it was like 1/4 pay or something like that. And I was like, oh man, I don't know what I'm going to do. And
that sucks.
They called me for Shenmue Part 2, like right after I had, you know, damaged my ankle. And I said, hey, are you available to do Shenmue 2? We're about to do it. We kind of need you to come over here. And I was like, I'm ready, because I will not be able to work my regular job. So yeah, I was ready to pick up and go. And it was like 2 weeks or something like that. And it was a very short trip from Guam to Japan. So
nice. Well, don't try to get hurt this time for the third game.
I know, right? Right.
Yeah. Oh man. No, Corey, man. You know, I'm just excited for the game to finally come out next year and stuff, man. So, for more information, if people want to know more about you and maybe follow you on social media, you want to give them any website, Twitter, Facebook?
Oh yeah, yeah. You guys can find me both on Twitter and Facebook. You know, it's funny. I do. I don't know. Yeah. Sometimes I put, you know, it's not all game stuff. So if you guys want to follow me on Twitter or on Facebook, I'll talk about games or I'll talk about this or that. But it's also a little bit personal. Yeah. So, I mean, if you guys are just okay with me talking about whatever, then that's okay. Mm-hmm. But don't just, and I need to say this, because I get people upset sometimes when I start talking about, you know, politics or whatever, you know. So if you can't handle it, then don't follow me.
There you go. So. Hey, Corey, you know, I forgot to ask you, man. I think and this is important to me, because, you know, I have a lot of nephews and nieces that I collect a lot of, you know, my gaming stuff from like back from like the 90s to today and stuff. And and I know you have a family. Have you even talked to your, I don't know if you have kids or not, but have you spoken to them about your job, you know, Shenmue and Shenmue 2 from back then? Have you even showed them how videos of your work? I just wanted like the reaction.
Yeah.
If you remember.
Yeah. Asking. Yeah. So I do have a daughter. She is 9 years old.
Okay. It's a daughter. Okay.
And I have showed her what I did back then. And, you know, I show her some of the work that I have done in the past. And of course, I showed her Shenmue. And yeah, she was like, oh, wow, I didn't know Daddy did this kind of thing. You know what I mean? And I showed her the reactions from E3. And she was kind of surprised by that, too. She didn't know that people would react that way. And she is also excited about Part 3, because she told me that she can't wait to play it herself. So actually we're going to have to get 1 and 2. So of course she can play both of those. And then when 3 comes out, she's going to play that too. But, you know, my daughter, her name is Katana, and she is in the business herself. She has done multiple commercials. She's done multiple short films now. And, you know, she actually had done a couple of voiceover auditions, and I'm really hoping that she gets one of them someday, because that would be amazing if she ended up being, you know, one of them was like a Nickelodeon show, and the other one, I can't remember what the other one was, but I would be elated if Katana got a voiceover job that I could say, hey, look, you know, dad and now daughter are doing voiceovers. So maybe someday we'll see if she can get one of those. That'd be great.
Hey, you never know. Maybe Shenmue 3, and there you go.
Both I know, right?
In the game. That'll be sick.
There are always kids, right? There are always kids running around in Shenmue. So
exactly.
Just show up one day, do some voices, and that could start her voiceover career. Maybe, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see.
That would be perfect. You know, a nice little Easter egg for those that, you know, don't know much, and they find out, oh my God, that's his daughter. What? That is awesome.
Right. That'd be great. That would be the little treat for people who are in the know.
Definitely, man. All right, Corey, man, but thanks a lot, man. It was a lot of fun talking to you, man, and good luck, man. I can't wait for part 3 to come out next year, man.
Appreciate you having me on. I appreciate it.
All right, no problem, man.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
All right, so that was the interview with Corey. Shout out to him, man. Thanks a lot. We finally made it happen. Been working on this for a while, so that was cool. And it's an honor to have him here in the podcast too, man. So it was awesome. All right, so head over to gamertagradio.com, post your comments and feedback. Remember, you could also find us Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, and other podcast directories. If you're listening to this, why not share it? You probably listen to this through your phone. Why not send this episode to a friend that probably is a fan of Shenmue? Maybe that's the only thing that they played back in the days or played now to this day. That's the only game. Send this episode to them. Let them know about Gamertag Radio, and hopefully they will also become a listener of GTR. Make sure to join our Discord channel. That's discord.gg/GTR. That's discord.gg/GTR. Until next time, I'm out. Take care, y'all. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Thank you for listening to Gamertag Radio. If you'd like to donate and help us out for future events and more coverage and also better audio equipment, head over to donate.gamertagradio.com. That's donate.gamertagradio.com. Thank you.